You're listening to Wake Up Tucson. This podcast is a Bustos Media production on The Voice. Be sure to subscribe wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
Let's go.
All right, Wakeys, let's get going. It's Wednesday. In honor of Mike Check, it's a hump, 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 hump day. Mike. Lighting tires and rocking tires, or whatever they used to say at the old mic check. Again, we saw some amazing journalism at the local TV stations. We saw snowbirds have left. I hope so. It's June. Businesses in the Oral Valley and the Foothills area will be slower, which I thought, again, amazing. And then I saw one of the other ones
from our Sherlock file. Captain Obvious is reporting.
So after even Don, Big Don, put the K-Gun story about this on our Wake Up Facebook page. And then I saw the one, it's getting hotter this week. Air conditioning companies may be busy. So, woof, who knew? If you scrape your... Local man scrapes knuckles on cheese grater, bleeding ensues. Well, thank you very much. Love it. Oh, there it is. All right, so all we're doing today on this show, Dan Shearer, he'll be in studio.
And Tabs.
In studio.
In studio?
In studio.
Do I have to have a live combo playing the Little Green Valley song?
Yes.
Okay.
Well, can we teach Rolando and Gaston to play it?
I'm sure they can. They can play anything.
I mean, they do have an accordion. An accordion and a guitar here on property.
Yes, Accordion Appreciation Day the other day too.
That doesn't exist. It shouldn't exist. It's against God and
no
humanity. Like, why don't we have accordion?
Gaston and Rolly can rock.
Why don't we have
Little Green Valley?
Why don't we have accordion and cat day? That'd be even greater.
That was yesterday too.
Thank you. Wonderful. All right. All we're doing is, so Dan, not only is going to do Dan's going to talk about what he usually talks about. We're going to do some news stuff, but he just got off of his 6 months or so being on a grand jury. So now he's free to talk about his experience on being on a grand jury.
Wait a minute. So Dan, like Don, had a gag order on him?
I got a gag on her. Yeah, it's true. It's true. It's all true. So we're going to do that. We're going to talk about Rio Nuevo jumping the shark. We're going to talk about...
Was this the one you were going to talk about yesterday? I've been waiting 24 hours.
I was very busy yesterday.
Such a tease.
I like Joanne because, you know, we got into our lover's quarrel about Carrie Lake yesterday, right? And me and Joanne.
She's on Hugh. Just
Joanne was?
No. Carrie.
Oh, wonderful.
Yeah, just
great. I would have listened to it, but I would have fell asleep driving on I-10.
Keep moving right along.
So she's like, "Are you ready for our argument? You know, our discussion about this?" Like, well, it was busy coming after a 4-day weekend. I go sleep early. I'm not working on the Carrie Lake discussion right now. I'm still looking up contextualize in the dictionary. And you're gonna use big words like delicatessen on me. I gotta read this crap up. Remember, Seize the Gray Party, Belmont Stakes coming up this Saturday. Grant's Place, Union Public House. He'll be on later with Edgar Soto, running for District 3 supervisor.
Is there a Belmont stake? A cut?
That's great. I don't know.
A Belmont steak.
So there's a steakhouse called Jeff Ruby Steaks.
Uh-huh.
And so they do have a Jeff Ruby Steaks race.
Ah.
So actually, Seize the Gray did run in it in March.
Huh.
So he came in the money, but did not win that one. But anyway, Seize the Gray, 2:30, I'll be there. And then race goes off at 3:45-ish. So looks like 50-60% chance of rain in Saratoga on Saturday, which is perfecto. And our boys in the one hole, so that's pretty good too. So, all right, here's the tabs. Serious, I got so much tabs. It's like a tabby cat convention.
Tabbage.
Huge tabbage.
It's like cabbage with a T.
So I've only seen this in the Arizona Republic, which is 120 miles up the road. About there was a lawsuit against the city of Tucson from the people who live on the Navajo Wash.
Yeah.
And they actually lost their case. Not the city. The city prevailed.
Oh.
And we'll talk about the pathetic judge in this one. And we'll talk about that situation.
There was one other. There's one other pending case that the Board of Supervisors had an executive session about. We didn't really get to it, but they had an executive session about the gun lawsuit from Goldwater.
I bet.
Because it's the Citizens Defense League or something.
Sure, the yeah. Charles Heller Group.
So there was an executive session in the Board of Supervisors meeting yesterday to discuss that.
Love it.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll talk about that. We'll talk about how enabling a southern border invasion has actually, according to the county, strained their resources, even though they've been telling you there's no strain on their resources.
I love that.
We're not doing,
I loved that.
We're not doing nothing. Oh, but it really straining our... It's too good. And then I sent Matt, we'll play it after our discussion with Dan, but...
huge drain of resources.
It's true.
I like 5 minutes ago, it's like, oh, he's not taking any of our resources. None. Remember, none.
And think about
well, all, maybe all, part of my time. Remember, maybe part of Dr. But other than that, no.
They're playing
it's
all
like the Spanish Inquisition. It's like our chief weapon is surprise. Surprise and fear. Fear and radical devotion to the Pope. And it just keeps going on and on.
The what's so great about this, remember, they're playing all the games they can't. Like, oh, oh, thank you. I forgot we had it on the board. You should be fired for not playing that more
often. Of course. You should be fired for a lot of things, man.
remember, they're playing all the games with this. We're going to play the Senator Kennedy statement on the quote, the Biden administration says they're taking care of the border now kind of thing. And he actually, you know, he has a great description for what the Democrats have done with the border. He calls it, they have dissolved it. They've dissolved the border like it doesn't exist. And there's some truth to that. He's like, you know, if you're one of those people who apply legally to be a citizen and to be a citizen here, he goes, you're a sucker. But remember, the county is using Keno Stadium district funds to pay for illegal aliens.
Well, there's no AAA ball, so...
And Kane Cooper saw the thing that says on Keno about how there's like somehow there's football being played.
Yeah.
And he's like, what football is being played? I'm sure we'll get Snoop Dogg to throw some money at the problem. We'll be fine. Get stoned and drunk at the same time. My prediction on that whole thing with Snoop Dogg is that when we look back at the crash of the whole area economically, we'll look back and go, we were so desperate we did a drug and drink bowl.
And NIL money too, so you know.
When we get to the Rio Nuevo, we're going to go through the 2022 report that they have on their website, but they have not posted 23 and or 24 yet. And I'm going to tell you some. Thank you, Matthew, for your wonderful research on that.
Talk about Snoop.
Here we go. Gangs mix another potent sedative into street drugs, causing mass overdoses.
Oh,
we got that going for us.
More potent than Trank?
Yes.
Oh, good.
Car drives through dispensary, and there's a burglary investigation.
See, I don't know that the drive-through one's over at 22nd and Cole.
Thank you. Yeah. missed the drive-through by that much.
Need a drum kit back here.
Pro-Palestinian protesters halt the opening of the Democrat offices.
Yeah, that was good.
We'll give you the city of Tucson, how many homeless encampments are in the city. We'll get to that. We'll get to, let's see, Phoenix Council acts to nix homeless blight and bans urban camping. We'll get to that. Coaches, community leaders strive to improve Arizona's poor numbers in youth sports participation. Jose Borrajero does a great take on the Lamb Lake Forum. We may get to that today. What else do we got here today? Tucson officer injured and man arrested after weekend altercation. Tucson identifies body with gunshot wounds in Tucson. What else do we got here today? A shocking number of candidates were assassinated ahead of Mexico's elections.
Yeah.
And then we'll give you...
Big problem.
Gloria did a nice post on who the new president of Mexico is, and she's possibly worse than AMLO. Probably will be worse than AMLO. We'll get to the John Kennedy take on the border. Andy Biggs absolutely levels Merrick Garland on the excuses not to turn over the special counsel Herr's audio of him interviewing Biden. Senile Biden with Time Magazine goes off the rails, challenges reporter to a fight. We got that.
What?
Yep. Yep.
Me and Corn Pop gonna take you out.
And if you can apologize by rubbing the hair on my legs.
Oh boy.
Washington Post boss sounds alarm over dwindling office and heated staff meeting. This reminds me of I was thinking of Tim Steller and some of these guys. Quote, people aren't reading your stuff. We got to get to the Pima County. This is this story by the Dudster looking to get out of the asylum seeker business, but they're not getting out of the asylum seeker business.
I'm really puzzled.
So we're going to go through the story. We're going to listen to the story with the Budster, and then we're going to say, did he leave the meeting early and go right to the golf course? So we got to get to that. And then the 12-year-old news director at KOLD said, well, Bud gave it to me. I better run it. He's a pro. I like Biden taking steps to curtail asylum because he's blasting congressional inaction. Think about it. The Biden administration's blasting inaction on the border. It's pretty good. Pretty good. Secure the Border Act heads to Arizona voters in November. Man, I got some tabs. I got holidays. And then I'm going to read you a list of the top 12 population cities in Arizona, and you're going to tell me which one is still in an economic downslide. So.
There's only one, and we got to find it?
I'll just start reading, and you guys can guess it.
Okay. Can I?
No.
Okay.
Not yet. Let's visit some great sponsors. Today is the power playlist of Lara Iacobucci.
Yeah. No Elvis, though. That may be one. We do have Elvis at the beginning of our dose. So
is she an Elvis fan? Is that what
she went and saw? Oh, this is a great story. She told me once, and something came up on Facebook, and she commented on it. She and her mom went to see Elvis here in Tucson in 1976.
Okay, it's starting to come back to me now. Okay,
yeah, which is just really cool.
All I know is she's got three Rush songs on.
She said she was seven. I don't. Can't believe she was even that old at the time, but
I was seven.
Isn't that cool?
Absolutely.
Wow.
I love it. All right. Remember, 18 songs to Wake Up Tucson comments, and you get to do the playlist. Wake up. There we go. Lara Iacobucci. She got married. Paris. Got to put it all together. I call her the Booch. Not yet. He's not coming on yet. Not coming on yet.
Okay.
He's waiting until 6:30.
Wow.
He's playing my Little Green Valley now. So
did the head fake.
He did. He's meditating right now.
Okay.
He's lotus.
We're ready.
Lotus position. Sandalwood incense, which is the worst crap ever, is being burnt in this studio right now. And he is aligning all of his journalistic chakras. So you be ready. Dan Shearer is coming up in about 10 minutes. He's going to be killing it. We're going to talk some news stuff, but he also just came off a Pima County grand jury service, and we're going to talk about that. So looking forward to that. Let's see. What do we got here? Let's go to Mexico's elections. Let's do that first. Give you a little. Let's start off with a disturbing story, and this is out of Reuters, TUSD member. You read it and say Reuters. Right, but it's Reuters is the way you say it. I'm going to help you out there, kids. Quote, the killing takes a So the most recent candidate, prior to Mexico's June 2nd elections, 37 mostly local level candidates, 37 candidates were assassinated in Mexico. Hate to tell everyone, this is kind of a, when we talk about our valuable partner Mexico and what goes on.
How about drugs
and immigration.
How about when we talk about nasty elections here?
Correct. Correct.
It was a vitriolic election.
So the most recent was Jorge Huerta Cabrera, who was running for local office in the town of Izucar de Matamoros. He was fatally shot as he exited his vehicle. This is from Reuters. Quote, the killing takes the number of assassinated candidates in the 24 election to 37. According to data from the security consultancy Integralia. The issue of violent crimes emerged as one of the top issues in this year's presidential contest. No kidding. In which the ruling party of AMLO has been forced to defend a persistently high murder rate as the opposition has sought to use the bloodshed to argue for change. Well, that sounds right. I would use 37 dead candidates for a change. Think about this. If we had one candidate murdered in the United States, it would be a freak out of all things. Mexico, you kill 30.
Well, there should be.
Absolutely. Mexico, you kill 37 candidates, and it's like, I mean, this will be off the news, and it's already almost probably off the Mexican news cycle. Oh, also, guess
they're back to the it's hot out, air conditioner repair people are busy. They're onto that.
Yes, the hard journalism of it's going to be hot. The air conditioner companies will be busy. Thank you. Dan's got a 5-page report coming on Sunday about how busy air conditioning and pool companies will be.
I saw it on the neighbor app.
The neighbor app. He's going to leave. The consultancy, in addition to the 37 murders, 828 non-lethal attacks on candidates. But let's get to more real quick. Tia Gloria put this up on her page, and it's good work by Tia Gloria here. Mexico new president. She goes, I knew nothing about Claudia Sheinbaum. I had a dentist named Sheinbaum back in New York, except that she's supported by the outgoing president. Ouch. Turns out her parents fled to Mexico from Russia, then joined the Communist Party there. Love it. Never mind, Dr. Sheinbaum's doctorate is energy engineering. No doubt helped her when she was the mayor of Mexico City, where she supported abortion and climate activism. Here's what she faced when she takes over. Public health system broken. There's a large fiscal deficit. The state-owned oil company has $103 billion in debt, owes suppliers $20 billion. Eternal security has collapsed. Cartels control a large part of the country, and extortion is routine. Human smugglers run the caravans that run migrants by the billions to the border. She will need to find a way to attract foreign capital to expand prosperity. Tough job. Thanks to the Wall Street Journal for gathering actual facts. All right, Red Barchetta for Lara's playlist. See my picture for Lara today? It's the best. Dan Shearer's coming up next. He's starting. He's doing some Pilates in the green room right now for this. He got one of our 2-ounce water bottles, and he is ready to go. Wake up, Tucson. 10:30 The Voice. All right, everyone. Welcome back to the Wake Up Tucson show. And as it says in his rider on his contract, yellow M&Ms only and Marty Robbins. So let's do it. I don't want him to complain about us shirking our responsibilities. Man, again. So now we don't have to. Green Valley came to us today, which is great. Making his every 5-month appearance in studio, which is fine. We're doing award-winning radio over the phone. It's our good friend Dan Shearer, editor, Green Valley News, editorial director of WIC Communications. Is that correct?
That is correct.
How many newspapers now?
Roughly 30 to 35, if you count the half ownership and 13 states, all west of the Mississippi.
And when are they getting you out of the heat to set you up in your Flagstaff office with the Flagstaff son?
Well, now that the grand jury duty is over,
then it's
a big push for Flagstaff, or I'll take even North Dakota.
Flagstaff needs my help right now. I can feel it.
Well, a year ago today, I was actually in North Dakota, probably called in on your show from there. And
it was still snowing.
It was beautiful. It was absolutely beautiful. But, you know, I had this feeling today, right before I'm scheduled to come on your show, a vehicle usually goes into a building in Green Valley, which is exactly what happened.
No!
So, yes, it happened Sunday
night.
Don't
say that.
No drinking involved or anything. He just hit the gas when he meant to hit the brake and hit the CVS. Oh, you were there. So 79 years old. He's fine. It just took out a little bit of the facade, and we're back and running.
Look at CVS, right? So you got to put up with all the shoplifters, all right? And now you have, once in a while, Earl runs the caddy through the front of the store.
Yeah, it was unfortunate that it happened right before the show, because I figured, he's going to point that one out. I know it.
So you just, yesterday was your final day?
Yes.
Of serving on a Pima County grand jury.
Yeah, so this is how it works.
Why don't you explain to people what a grand jury is? Because I think they hear it a lot on Law and Order.
And they don't know. They don't know. Well, people will say, so it was 4 months, 2 days a week, and people will say, man, that was a long case. Well, the fact is, as of yesterday, we heard 530 cases. And so here's what a grand jury does. First, in a typical jury, you have the prosecution, and then you have the defense, and then you have the witnesses, and the jury, and the judge, and the cases are presented and argued. Jury takes it to a little room and makes a decision. A grand jury is absolutely nothing like that. What we are doing all day long is simply indicting people. That means charging them. And so what we have is, picture this, picture a courtroom scene, and I was the foreman, so I sit where the judge is sitting, and I have a clerk next to me who is a juror also. There are 16 grand jurors, and then we have a prosecutor, and then we have a witness. The witness is 99% of the time a detective on the case. The witness will come in, say, here's why we think you should indict him, and the prosecutor asks questions, we ask questions, we dismiss everybody, and we make a decision on whether to prosecute. Some of these cases, start to finish, can take 3 minutes, and this is why we can kind of churn through them. But remember this, and this is absolutely key, and a lot of people don't get this, is that when you are on a traditional jury, you are deciding the evidence beyond a reasonable doubt. That's a very high bar. For us, it's a very low bar. It's probable cause, and there's a legal definition of that. But we're trying to decide two things. One, was a crime committed? And two, is there probable cause that this person did it? Low bar. So we're not arguing all the evidence because we're not seeing all the evidence. We can ask for more. We can ask for, video or photos or this or that. But a lot of times to reach that low bar, it's simply not necessary.
Did it ever feel like you guys were going too quick?
No. And you have a schedule. So you would walk in, like I walked in yesterday, we had 17 cases, and it'll say this one's at 8, this one's at 8:10, whatever. You don't have to follow the schedule. It's just a guide for you. And I told the jurors, look, we will take as much time as we need on every case. We will call in who we feel like we need to talk to get to the right decision. Don't worry about their schedule. Worry about our schedule, which is whatever we want it to be.
Right.
And you ask questions. You don't apologize for it. There are, as teachers say, no dumb questions, but there are.
Sure.
But we will get to a decision, and we will feel comfortable with it. And so...
So simple majority to...
No. There are 16 grand jurors. It takes 9 to indict.
Okay.
And so if you have a few people who are late or life happens, they're not there that day, you It might get a little dicey there. We never started the day with just 9 people. I think the lowest we ever had was 8.
Is there a quorum kind of number?
It's 9 is it. Okay. You can't start without 9.
Gotcha.
And you have to, but then you have to have 9 votes to indict. So it's a, you know, one
oh,
person.
Oh, 9 votes to indict at all times.
Correct. All
gotcha.
Times. Yeah.
Okay.
That's the number. So that's why you really kind of want to make sure everyone's there. On the other hand, you've got a lot of people who are scheduled all day long, and I started on time. So throughout the morning, you know, more jurors would arrive, and you'd get more people.
So you were 2 days a week for 4 months, you said?
Correct. Correct.
And well, how many hours were you supposed to be there? Like from what to what?
They tell you that, you know, it's going to be, you know, make yourself available 8 to 5. Okay. And I would say that we went to 3 o'clock one time. We went past lunch probably 15% of the time. Our biggest caseload was 32. On one day, we had 32 cases, and our lowest was around 10. And we'd probably average probably between 15 and 20. And so we were generally out before lunch. And that was slower than I thought it would be, to be honest with you.
I feel a disconnect here, okay? Because we know that crime is just rampant in this county right now. So the idea that you guys were getting sent home before lunch feels weird.
Well, couple of things. There are 3 grand juries going at any time.
Okay.
That's one thing to remember. And then also, we only would handle felony cases. That doesn't mean we didn't have misdemeanors, but we were not indicting somebody solely on a misdemeanor charge. So a felony was always involved. So we're dealing with the heavy duty stuff, first degree murder on down. So it is, there's that to remember. But and a long time ago, there were only 2 grand juries, and so they were a little bit busier. But to your point, I thought I'd be a lot busier.
Kind of plays when I talk to police officers and talking about the county attorney's, first of all, unwillingness to charge at a certain level, or too much diversion, or Conover doesn't have enough lawyers. Right? She's down to 27 or whatever lawyers. She should have 60 or 70.
Right.
Maybe that's the other part of why you guys were going home by lunch every day.
Well, it could be. And we were, but again, you don't know what you don't know.
Sure.
And what we didn't know was all the stuff that was coming through the office that wasn't going to be charged. Were there other circumstances? We met quite a few lawyers because you never had, you know, the same one. You know, they would, you know, they might throughout your 4 months, you know, appear, but we probably had I don't know, 15 different lawyers, and so you, and they all have different personalities. But I'll tell you, there's a sense of discontent there, and that's just me trying to read the room,
right?
And 4 months sitting in that foreman chair, and there's something not quite right there. And not that anyone would ever say that to me. It's just me just kind of getting a sense.
Sure. Dan has to be very careful with his words here also, with what he talks about, because I don't need Laura sending Aubrey down in the electric vehicle to arrest him or something like that. I mean, I'm already going to a Republican tribunal. We don't need both of us in trouble. So,
yeah, that was great, by the way. Loved it. Yeah, and we should point out, by the way, that if you're sitting on a traditional jury, at the end of your service, you can talk about anything. You can talk about what you said in the jury room. You can talk about the evidence, your opinion. A grand jury is different. You are not allowed to talk about anything that went on in that room in detail. As far as like witnesses or details of crimes or names, forever. You take it to the grave with you. And there's very good reasons for that. And if you forget that, there's a state statute written just for you that talks about what you're allowed to say and disclosure and everything, and you better not violate it.
One of the listeners want to know, how much do you get paid to be in a grand jury?
Okay, you get paid $12 a day.
Nice.
Minus parking. they subsidize your parking. So the parking was $2. So, but then you get paid mileage from the middle of your zip code, and I live far away. So every week I would make about $76. So that for two rounds of service.
After your parking was paid.
No. No,
now, so 74.
So 74, as my wife liked to point out, rightly so, and then minus all my gas, you know. But you probably make a little bit on that. So what's worrisome is are the grand jurors who think that's actually kind of a good deal, you know. You think, oh boy, and I could tell you at some point we can talk about jury selection, which was one of the most surreal 4 hours of my entire life.
All right, we'll do that when we come back. Eastside Matt's got a comment.
It's required of you to be on a jury, but it also is required of you to pay for your parking. Did I hear that right?
You heard that correctly.
Okay. Thank you for your service to your fellow man.
You don't
think
they can have jurors
go
lot.
To hell?
Wow.
No.
All right, we'll come back and we'll do 4 hours of jury selection and the surreal moment where Dan was listening to, in his head he could hear White Rabbit by Jefferson Airplane as it was all going through. You're on Wake Up Tucson, 10:30 The Voice. Is this the video that sunk Billy Squire?
No, that was Rock Me Tonight.
Oh, Rock Me Tonight. That's right. Wake Up Tucson, 10:30 The Voice. Local news and talk. We're playing Laura Iacobucci Paris's playlist. Wake up. All right, 6:51. We're playing our buddy Laura's playlist, Little Foo Fighters. We're hanging out with Dan Shearer from the Green Valley News, who just got off being the foreman of a grand jury, Pima County grand jury. We found out you have to pay for your own parking.
And by the way, everybody leaves the room and it's just the jury there, and you decide two things. One, who are the alternates going to be? And that was a name and a hat for us. And then who the foreman and the clerk and what I call the bouncer or the bailiff are going to be. And I was recruited. I did not volunteer. I was not interested. So let's go back to jury selection, because you walk into a room, there's 80 people. And you all have a number. I'm number 6. So they take the first 20 and they put you in the jury box. And then the other 60 are out in the gallery.
It's like Spectre from James Bond, number 6.
Then the judge looks at you and he says to the 20, "You're the jury. And now we're going to go through, you know, the questioning." And I thought, well, this is interesting. So I 100%. Expected to be the first one who would be bounced out.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and I end up being the foreman. Okay, so how
That's
could
a
I get
nosy
this,
news editor?
How could I get this so wrong? Well, we so you can make. They asked a lot of questions, and I will tell you there were times where I laughed out loud at some of the excuses, because before they found the 20, 47 people got excused.
So give me some good laughers when it comes to excuses.
Okay. I've got to pick my daughter up from school. Okay. What time is that? It's about 2:30 in the afternoon. Okay. Oh, how old's your daughter? She's a sophomore. Come on. You tell me a sophomore can't find her way home from school 2 days a week?
Well,
and still is being picked up? Come on.
Maybe the bus doesn't go out to the house.
Or maybe mom's looking for a cheap excuse. Here was my favorite. My favorite was a guy who said, look, between February and June, which is the service time, I have 2 vacations planned, and he described them. I will just say this, they were luxury vacations. And he said, by the way...
Was he going on with Matt Hines?
By the way, if... give me a moment.
Sorry. Dan's verklempt.
You know...
Sorry.
Should I have turned your mic off?
That is not fair.
Should I have turned your mic off?
I'm very stressed. I'm running a wine bar in the foothills.
One of them was a Mediterranean cruise. I'm just going to leave it.
I kind of feel like I let Dan down here.
But he says, but also, if I have to show up 2 days a week, it's going to hit me hard financially. It's going to be a real big hit. And I'm thinking, well, you're taking 2 luxury vacations in the next 4 months. How much of a hit could that possibly be? And then I will say, Chris, with all solemnity, if that's a word, is that there are some people who just kind of stumble through life. And there was one woman who showed up, and she had 4 big bags of stuff. I don't know how she got through security. And, you know, sometimes people like to surround themselves with their stuff.
Sure.
And she showed up, and then she was, you know, asked a couple of questions, and they let her go. And I think that's because... And certainly no joking here. There are some people who just wouldn't contribute much,
right,
you know, in that situation, and it's best just to let them go. And we had several there. We had one guy who said he simply couldn't sit down for long periods of time because of a bad traffic accident. And but a lot of them were flimsy excuses, to be honest with you. But
were there any questions that were out of bounds, you thought, a little bit?
No, they did say, look, if a police officer is testifying, would you give him any more weight than you would anybody else? And here's my problem. Is that for an entire career, I have been fair and listening to all sides and impartial. And that's what they wanted. Because at one point, you could go up and talk to the judge privately and make your case. And I did that. And I said, look, I know for a fact that I'm going to know a lot of these cases. And that's going to kind of be an awkward thing. I dismissed myself from those, hearing those cases, of course, which did happen, by the way. And he just looks at me and he says, but can you be fair and impartial? Well, what am I supposed to say, Chris? I built an entire career on that. So no, absolutely. I think the SOBs are, you know, guilty, all of them.
As we know, we're in a sad state where, as a news guy, right, does the average bear think the average news guy or girl is impartial?
Right. And we know they don't, but I think they're confusing.
You're swimming upstream on that one.
I know. They're confusing the news guys with a lot of the pundits. And so they have to be careful of that.
But there's a lot of news guys who are pundits who keep saying they're news guys.
Right. There's no doubt about it. In this courtroom, we were talking about me. Okay. And
yes.
And so the answer is, of course, I can. Of course I can be impartial. And I will tell you this, that I highly respect what, and even more so now, what detectives and officers and law enforcement does. But do they get it wrong sometimes? They do. Do they bring evidence hoping for an indictment and not get it? That happens. And that's okay. We're not looking at the people. We're looking at the evidence. And that was the hardest thing for a lot of these jurors, by the way.
So when we talked about the question about would you give more weight of what a police officer testified as opposed to the average citizen.
Right.
Right. I guess there's the idea that there's some people who would say whatever the cop says is gold. And then there's going to be some people who say they don't trust cops.
There were plenty on both sides.
Yep.
And that would get people out. And I tell you what, if I were open to a person who exaggerated or lied, I could have been off that jury a half dozen times. Easily.
Right.
And that was one of them, is just, you know, one woman said, look, flat out, I can't deal with child molestation cases. I absolutely would fall apart. And I sensed that she really would. And I will tell you, by far, those were the most difficult ones. And
of the 500 you did, how many were that kind of case?
About 20. I'd say probably about 20.
Okay.
That involved children, things like that. And so those were very difficult. I thought I had heard everything. And I had, now I do. And those were extraordinarily difficult. And I was very surprised that they caught me off guard.
How long have you been a newsman?
Oh, gosh. I graduated from college in 85, ever since.
Right.
So,
so coming up on 40 years.
Yep.
Okay. And it took a grand jury for you, after being a news guy for 40 years.
Yeah.
For you to hear everything being on a grand jury.
And I will tell you, I knew all this stuff existed, but today I have a lot more information, and we can talk after the break exactly some stuff that I discovered that really should be dealt with, quite
awesome.
Honestly.
All right. Dan Scheer from the Green Valleys News is giving us some really great insight on being on a grand jury in Pima County, and we'll also talk about a certain horrible drug that drives a lot of stuff in this town also. So, if you have a question for Dan, 790-2040, wakeuptucsoncomments@gmail.com, or if you're one of those waste bookers, you can hit me through Messenger. Wake up.